This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Tuesday, August 31st, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. Tomorrow, Apple is hosting its annual event to announce changes to its music service, so naturally, speculation is running rampant about what's in store. A new Nano, a slicker iPod Touch. One big question is, will Apple move its iTunes store to the cloud so users can store their music online and access it from lots of different devices wherever they are? Many observers believe that's unlikely for now, but cloud computing is slowly taking over. iTunes will end up there eventually, and the cloud is already changing the way we work and live. If you've been reading recent headlines, it's one of the reasons HP and Dell have been locked in a bidding war for the data storage company 3PAR. Eric Goldman's a professor of technology law at Santa Clara University. Eric, what exactly is cloud computing and how is it changing the way we live?
Let's start with the definitions. When I think about the cloud, I think about storage of data and the performance of software services by a third party, not on your hard drive.
When you see pictures of a friend's new baby on Facebook just moments after the child's born, it's cloud computing that makes that possible. That picture exists on a server that's not owned by your friend, but a corporation. And the days of baby announcements as physical objects are disappearing. And there are some advantages here. If there's a flood or a fire at your house, those pictures are safe. If you leave your laptop at an airport in Ohio, your emails and documents stored in the cloud are still accessible. But
the most obvious disadvantage with cloud-based storage or cloud-based functions is that if the internet isn't working properly, then you can't get to them.
And then there are questions of control. If you're uploading all your photos to Flickr, who owns them?
I don't really find the concept of ownership really useful when talking about putting stuff online.
Justin Brookman is a fellow at the Center for Democracy and Technology.
If I put something on my friend's Facebook wall, I mean, who owns that wall post? Do I own it? Does she own it? Does Facebook own it? Ownership, you usually think of it as so binary, like I have all the rights to it or I have none of the rights to it. And I think increasingly online, especially to the extent you're sharing it or making it social, it's really hard to think of it in those terms.
Cloud computing's redefining property in the digital age. Eric Goldman doesn't even like to use the word ownership in this context.
What's interesting is that consumers still seem to value being able to have the digital bits, quote, in their possession. So it's not entirely clear to me that a cloud-based offering of music is still going to be something that consumers want because of that quasi-tangibility, being able to have the bits more local to them. But when it's stored on the cloud, the service provider at that point can, and in some cases must, do things to that data that they wouldn't be able to do if it was resident on our hard drive. So, for example, they could simply delete the account.
And you have no control. Some other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. Research in Motion, the creator of the BlackBerry smartphone, has reportedly backed down in its standoff with the Indian government over access to the BlackBerry's data network. India and many other countries around the world have been demanding that RIM give their security service access to their data servers. BlackBerry offers its customers powerful encryption for email right out of the box, but that makes many governments, including India, uneasy. They worry terrorists could use these smartphones to coordinate attacks. RIM resisted efforts in the Middle East to open up its data servers, but with hundreds of millions of potential customers in India at stake, RIM reportedly cut a deal. And Google's in negotiation with Hollywood's biggest studios to dramatically expand their pay-per-view offerings on YouTube. It's still a long way off, but can you imagine a world where any movie ever made is available online anytime? What would you call it? Maybe Googleplex. Producer Julia Barton is here. Julia?
Steve, not all of us admit it, but I will. Sometimes I can't keep track of who's doing what where in the tech world. It's like I need a map.
So let me guess, you found a map.
Better than that. It's an interactive map modeled after the game Risk. It clumps all of these tech entities into continents and countries with names like the Platform Plateau and the Land of Search.
So you can tell that Google's about to invade across the Bering Strait or
right.
Yeah, take over Iceland. So why did they decide to base this on Risk?
Well, the map is called Points of Control, and it's put out by folks at the Web 2.0 Summit. That's a big conference this November on the changing economy of the internet. So with all the maneuvering and strategizing that
goes on. It's a great metaphor for taking over the world. Is that the thing?
Yes.
Well, you can go to our website to take a look, futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Future Tense.